To ensure future episodes of your favorite podcast, go to givebutter.com/melanatedmoments.
Each donation helps us share more stories of exceptional Black artists with thousands of listeners across the U.S. and around the world.
We thank you for your support. Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Melanated Moments in Classical Music. I'm Joshua Thompson.
And I'm Angela Brown. Season after season, we've had such a fun time exploring and uncovering such a wide array of Black contributors to classical music, and I'm interested in discovering one more. Who are you bringing into the fold today, Mr. Joshua?
Well, there are so many to choose from, but for today, I wanted to highlight an individual that I had never heard of before, but her influence and tutelage was absolutely critical to the success of household names of the operatic stage in the early to mid-20th century.
Well, we're all ears, baby. Who is
it? All right. Today's feature wore many artistic hats and went by a couple of names. I'm talking about Amanda Ira Aldridge, or Montague Ring, as she was also known. So here is a quick rundown. Born March 10th, 1866, Amanda Ira Aldridge was a British opera singer, teacher, and composer who composed over 30 songs for voice and piano between 1907 and 1934. She was the daughter of the famous African-American actor Ira Aldridge, and a Swedish mother who was raised in London so the family could escape the extremely violent racial conditions of the United States at the time, which actually provided her father with an opportunity to have a successful acting career. She was widely admired for her rich contralto voice and studied voice and composition at the Royal College of Music in London, singing a wide variety of music, but most notably the vocal works of Samuel Coleridge Taylor and other composers who faced discrimination in the genre because of their race. Sadly, her vocal career was cut very, very short due to an extreme case of laryngitis, which permanently damaged her vocal cords. So she turned to teaching, composing, and publishing as an alternative to a career on stage. Perhaps her greatest contribution was her ability to just crank out some of the world's most memorable vocalists. She taught and assisted performers such as Roland Hayes, Lawrence Benjamin Brown, Paul Robeson, and Marian Anderson.
See, this is what I love about creative and multi-talented people. Just because her singing career didn't work out, she probably had a little laryngitis and acid reflux going on there. I'm not a doctor, and I don't play one on TV or on podcasts. She still understood the importance of imparting that knowledge to others who were poised for greatness.
Exactly, because we all know Marian Anderson. We all know Paul Robeson and Roland Hayes, right? But maybe we wouldn't if it hadn't been for Amanda Aldridge.
Well, I know you're just scratching the surface of this remarkable woman, and I'm sure you've got a lot more you're going to share with us. But before you do, let's take a minute to listen to one of her compositions.
I think that is a great idea because you know how much I like to talk, and I know how much you don't like for me to talk that much.
Nah, that's not true.
So we're going to listen to a piece that she composed. It was originally written for solo piano called The Prayer Before Battle. It's from a set of works that she composed. And I have to be very honest with you. I listened to as many recordings of this on piano as I could. And I did not like the piano edition as much as the arrangement that someone's made for solo harp. I just, that arrangement for solo harp just really hit home for me. So let's take a listen to Amanda Aldridge's Prayer Before Battle.
Thank you.
Gave me a little, you know, flashes of something Asian in the playing. I don't know why you didn't like the piano, but this was really different. The harmonics in there really helped to paint a picture that I'm not sure if it was a prayer before battle, but it was interesting. It was interesting.
So I love it. So this is where the discussion happens. Like, I felt like in the piano recordings that I heard, it was just too heavy, whereas the harp has an ability to kind of allow for a little bit more of nuance.
Okay.
So this piece is from a set. It's called Four Moorish Pictures. And so I understand when you're talking about getting some of that Asianic type of vibe to it. Because what she's really doing, and I think the harp does a better job than the piano. That's just me. She does an excellent job of bringing forward some of these cultural hallmarks from the North African region. So if you could imagine going through like history's Silk Road that went from Asia through North Africa.
Well, then there you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
And so that's what it is.
Okay.
Yeah. And I liked it. I'll try the piano versions again. But maybe we're giving our harpists out there an opportunity to be like, oh, there's music for us? Yes. Yes, there is.
Yes.
Yes, there is. So
she's using music to paint history, culture, and a very purposeful meditation.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to circle back to something you mentioned in our intro.
Okay.
You said she wore several hats and went by a few names. Explain that to us for a bit.
Oh, for sure. So again, she's a composer. She's a teacher. You know, she was an opera singer at one point. She's a relatively obscure name in history for now because she's using a pseudonym of Montague Ring throughout her career.
I see. So why use a fake name?
Well, you know, for a few reasons that kind of compound upon themselves, she's living and working in an era where, you know, no matter what field you're in, it's not very supportive of women. And on top of that, being a Black woman.
Era.
Yeah, right. It's not uncommon. We see other, you know, authors in history who are women. In order to get their stuff published, they're using a man's name. And so I think that's one of the reasons, too.
All right. So she's using yet another creative strategy, despite racial and social barriers of the era. She's being a woman. Honey, because we always know how to get to the other side. Honey, if you gonna tell me there's no chicken soup, but there's a couple of bones over there that still got some meat on it, honey, I'm gonna boil those bones and make some broth. Don't play with me. We know what to do. We know how to do.
I couldn't have said it better. You're absolutely right. So she has this high degree of determination and focus on just do the work. Like, so that that ability is really remarkable for me, like making a way out of no way, you know?
Well, speaking of remarkable, let's listen to another composition from Mrs. Aldrich.
Yes. You know, I think this is one that rather than being like, that's different, I think this one's going to hit you a little bit.
All right, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. So we're going to listen to the first movement from her Suite of Five Dances from Carnival.
To the sweet melody, because I love how it reprised itself at the end. I really liked it because it was a fantastic example of composition of the mid to late romantic era in classical music.
Okay, well, look at you, Auntie, accurately categorizing and identifying periods of classical music.
I went to school too. Okay,
well, girl, I know. I'm like, no, I know. It is cute though, right? It's just easy to listen to. It's wistful, and it does have all the hallmarks of the era. And it just proves once again that, like, no matter one's age or gender or race, what we compose all goes into the canon of classical music, and it's all fantastic.
Now, as we were listening, I did a very quick search on her, and there really doesn't seem to be a whole lot of biographical or historical information on Mrs. Aldrich. Why do you think that is?
Well, I noticed that too, because when I was digging, I'm like, do I have enough to do an episode? I said, make it enough. So, right? I poured over.
Just like she does.
That's it. That's it. So looking through, you know, reputable sources to find out more about the actual person, you know, and then the artist, you're right. There really isn't a whole lot out there. If I had to guess, I'd say it's because, you know, her using her pseudonym provided her freedom and the ability to publish, but it doesn't really give the opportunity for others to find out or for her to even tell that much more and share about her personal life, right? So that's just my conjecture. That's what I would think. This is also a wonderful time for our listeners out there who might be more experts on her than we are. Like, email and call in and tell us what we're missing so we can fill in the gaps about this wildly talented woman.
Yeah. Now, before we sign off, let's listen to another short vignette from her three African dances entitled Luleta's Dance.
See, Auntie, I really, really, really like this one. I'm going to kind of do a little, reference here. Mm-hmm. There's a set of waltzes that Samuel Coleridge Taylor wrote. It's called the 3/4 Valse Suite. Mm-hmm. The very first movement of those valse suites, I think she's using the exact same da 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 da. It's the exact same passage that Hugh uses in his, and she's a huge aficionado and studied vocally, his works. And so,
yeah. I picked up homage, on maybe
a little bit. I think so. It's like a little musical quote. I think what I like about it is it really pulls the listener in, and it almost like lulls them into like this dreamlike sleep, mm-hmm. with a very soothing and serene melody. I like that.
And child, after a long day of podcasting, I'm ready to do sleep. Just that.
So it's effective. It did what it was intended to do.
It did what it was intended to do. And with that, I'm Angela Brown.
And I'm Joshua Thompson.
And this has been Melanated Moments in Classical Music.
Melanated Moments in Classical Music is a production of Classical Music Indie. Our producers are Kennedy Douglas and Daniel Porter. Our assistant producer is Janet Gerald.
This episode was recorded by Gabriel Harley with technical production managed by PorterAudioDesign.com. Our theme music was composed by Laura Cartman.
Melanated Moments in Classical Music is made possible in part by Classical Music Indy, the Indiana Arts Commission, a state agency, and the National Endowment for the Arts, a federal agency. Additional support comes from the Indy Arts Council and the City of Indianapolis.
Our product partner is RLX Acoustics, and our podcast partner is Morning Brown Incorporated. For more information about the podcast, go to www.classicalmusicindy.org.
Follow the podcast on Facebook at Melanated Moments and Classical Music and on Instagram at Melanated_Moments. Follow me, Joshua Thompson, on Instagram at Sop Joplin, and you can follow Angela Brown on Facebook and Instagram at Ms. Angela Brown.